Section C, coulometric titrations. We saw in Section B that analytical determinations performed by electrolysis at controlled potential require a means for integrating the exponentially decaying current in order to evaluate the total charge consumed during the electrolysis. It would be simpler to carry out the electrolysis at constant current rather than at constant potential, because then the total charge consumed would be readily calculated as the product of the constant current and the time of electrolysis. However, such an approach doesn't work because, as a constant current electrolysis proceeds, the concentration of the substance to be determined decreases, and a point is eventually reached where the limiting current, corresponding to the maximum rate of arrival of the reactant at the electrode surface, becomes smaller than the constant current being imposed on the electrode. At that point, the Faradaic efficiency of the electrode process must fall below 100%, and the simple Faradaic relationship between the total electrical charge passed and the amount of reactant consumed ceases to be valid. However, with a rather simple modification, it is possible to perform highly accurate analyses by carrying out electrolyses at constant current. And the electroanalytical technique involved is termed coulometric titration. In a coulometric titration, an excess of a second reagent is added to the solution of the substance to be determined at a concentration large enough to ensure that the limiting current for its reduction at the electrode exceeds the constant generating current employed throughout the electrolysis. In this way, the Faradaic efficiency for the electrode reaction of the added so-called titrant precursor is maintained at 100%. For example, consider the determination of ferric iron by titration with electrode-generated titanium-3. The electrode and titration reactions to be utilized are shown in C1 and C2. The titrant precursor in this case is titanium-4, which is added to the electrolysis solution in excess. It reacts at the electrode surface to produce the titrant, titanium-3, which is stirred into the body of the solution, where it reacts with the ferric iron present according to reaction C2. The ferric iron is also reduced directly at the electrode, as is indicated parenthetically under reaction C1, but the concentration, and therefore the limiting current, of the substance to be determined is almost always so much smaller than that of the titrant precursor that this direct electrode reaction of the substance being determined is negligible. The titration is stopped after essentially all of the ferric ion has been converted to the ferrous state, at which point the titanium-3 persists in the solution for the first time. The current potential curves shown in figure C3 provide a basis for deducing the chemical and electrochemical reactions that will proceed if a constant cathodic current is passed through a stirred solution containing titanium-4 and iron-3. Curve 1 in C3 represents the residual current potential curve for a solution which contains only the supporting electrolyte. In the case of the ferric iron titanium-4 solution, the supporting electrolyte would be 1 molar hydrochloric acid. Curve 2 in figure C3 is the current potential curve that results when the ferric ion to be determined is added to the hydrochloric acid solution. The small limiting current shown in curve 2 results from the direct reduction of the ferric iron at the electrode. Actually, I have exaggerated the true size of this current. In practice, the limiting current for the substance being determined would be 100 to 1,000 times smaller than that of the titrant precursor. Curves 3 and 4 are current potential curves obtained after titanium-4 has been added to the solution. The left-hand sides of these curves are the same as the curve obtained before the titanium was added. The much larger limiting currents obtained at the more negative potentials arise from the reduction of the titanium-4 to titanium-3. Now, the dashed horizontal line in the figure gives the value of the generating current, I sub G, that is to be used in the coulometric titration. And you note that this current is greater than the limiting current for the concentration of ferric iron present in the solution. So, if none of the titrant precursor reagent, titanium-4, had been added to the solution, the potential of the electrode through which the current I sub G was passing would be given by the intersection of the dashed horizontal line with curve 2. And since this intersection occurs in the region where electrolysis of the supporting electrolyte occurs, that is, where significant current flows in the hydrochloric acid solution even in the absence of any ferric iron, the ferritic efficiency for the reduction of the ferric iron would be well below 100%. On the other hand, in the presence of the added titanium 4, the intersection of the dashed line with curve 3 or 4 occurs at potentials where no significant background reactions are proceeding, so the ferritic efficiency with which the titanium 4 is reduced to titanium 3 is 100%, and the subsequent chemical reduction of the ferric iron will also be 100% efficient. Thus, titanium 4, the titrant precursor, cycles between the body of the solution and the electrode, where it is repeatedly reduced, and in the process all of the iron 3 is consumed in reaction C2. At the equivalence point in the titration, the titrant, titanium 3, persists in the solution for the first time, and that condition is sensed by some endpoint detecting system which interrupts the electrolysis current. The product of the constant generating current that was used and the elapsed time at this point is a direct measure of the amount of iron 3 which was initially present, capital N. This quantity can be calculated as shown in equation C4 by multiplying the generating current by the titration time and dividing by the number of Faradays per mole involved in the generation of the titanium 3 titrant. In this example, that number is 1. Note that equation C4 is, in fact, the same as equation B4. Both equations are simple assertions of Faraday's law. A cell that is typical of those used in constant current coulometric titrations of the sort just described is shown in figure C5. In this figure, the substance being determined is arsenic 3, and the titrant precursor is bromide ion, which is electrochemically oxidized to bromine at the surface of the generating electrode, as indicated in the figure. The magnetic stirrer mixes the generated bromine with the rest of the solution, where it oxidizes the arsenic 3 to arsenic 5. Note that the auxiliary electrode, that is, the electrode which completes the circuitry in which the constant generating current flows, is isolated from the main body of the solution by means of a sintered glass disc. This isolation is chemical, not electrical. That is, ionic current flows between the auxiliary electrode compartment and the main compartment of the cell, but the products of the electrode reaction at the auxiliary electrode are prevented from mixing with the solution in the main compartment in order to avoid undesirable reactions between these products and the substance to be determined. Two other electrodes are also shown in the cell in figure C5. These electrodes form the basis of a so-called amperometric endpoint, which is one of the more common endpoint detection systems employed with coulometric titrations. The two amperometric endpoint electrodes are usually identical platinum or gold electrodes. They are both present in the same solution, so little or no current flows when a small voltage is imposed between them, unless it is possible for the electrode reaction proceeding at one of the two electrodes to be just the opposite of the reaction proceeding at the other electrode. When this circumstance can be achieved, the only opposition to current flow is the small ohmic resistance of the solution, and large currents result from small applied voltages. As is indicated at the bottom of figure C5, the most likely electrode reaction at the anode in the amperometric endpoint detection circuit is the oxidation of bromide to bromine. And this reaction is possible at any point in the titration because a large excess of the titrant precursor, bromide, always is present. The exactly opposite reaction that must proceed at the amperometric cathode in order for detectable current to flow is the reduction of bromine back to bromide. But since no significant concentration of bromine will appear in the electrolysis solution, so long as any of the arsenic 3 that is being titrated remains in the solution, the necessary cathode reaction is inaccessible and no current flows in the amperometric circuit. However, when the electrode-generated bromine has oxidized all of the arsenic 3 to arsenic 5, then bromine persists in the electrolysis solution for the first time. It becomes available for reduction at the cathode of the amperometric electrode pair, and current begins to flow in the amperometric endpoint detecting circuit. Figure C6 shows the sort of amperometric current time curves that would be observed in the coulometric titration of arsenic 3 with bromine. Throughout the early part of the titration, very little current flows in the amperometric circuit because no bromine is present, and neither arsenic 3 nor arsenic 5 happen to be reducible at the electrode. Significant current does begin to pass when the bromine being generated is no longer chemically removed. The amperometric current increases linearly with time because it is proportional to the amount of bromine present, and the bromine is being generated at a constant current, which means that the concentration of bromine increases linearly with time. So, the extrapolation of the linear portion of the current time curve in figure C6 back to the level of current flowing before the sudden increase establishes the time corresponding to the end point of the titration. This time, multiplied by the constant generating current, can be used to calculate the total quantity of arsenic 3 initially present. The technique of coulometric titration has a number of analytical advantages which have contributed to its popularity, especially for precise analyses of very small quantities of oxidants or reductants. Several of these advantages are listed in Table C7. The first and often very significant advantage is that by electrochemical means it is possible to generate titrants which are such powerful oxidants or reductants that they cannot be prepared and stored for use as standard solutions in ordinary volumetric titrations. For example, standard solutions of chromium-2 or titanium-3 or of chlorine or bromine are difficult to prepare, and once prepared, they are relatively unstable. But these species can easily be electrogenerated with 100% Faradaic efficiency from appropriate precursor reagents in a coulometric titration. Thus, coulometric titrations provide access to much more powerful oxidants and reductants than are possible in conventional volumetric titrations. A second advantage of the method has to do with the previously emphasized fact that the Faraday is a very large quantity of electricity. This means that very small quantities of oxidants or reductants can be determined with high accuracy by coulometric titration. A generating current of 1 milliampere flowing for 10 seconds corresponds to the addition of about 1/100th of a milliliter of a 1/100th normal solution of a volumetric titrant, and it is quite easy to produce generating currents that are very constant and to measure generating times very accurately, so that coulometric titrations offer high accuracy in the determination of very small quantities. Another advantage of the method is that no standard reagent of any kind is required. The Faraday serves as the primary standard, and its value is known with extremely high accuracy. Numerous endpoint detection methods have been used successfully in coulometric titrations. Besides simple potentiometry or amperometry, photometric, colorimetric, and other similar methods are available. Endpoint detection is no problem in coulometric titrations. The most significant source of possible problems that must be borne in mind in conducting coulometric titrations is the likelihood that the supporting electrolytes and reagent precursors employed may contain traces of impurities which can react with the electrogenerated titrant. These impurities might be insignificant in ordinary volumetric titrations with 10th molar solutions of titrant and correspondingly large quantities of the substance to be determined, but the impurities can often be far from negligible if accurate determinations in the micromole range are being sought. This problem is frequently overcome in coulometric titrations by means of pre-titration. Titrant is generated in the solution of supporting electrolyte and titrant precursor before the substance to be determined is added. The pregeneration is continued until a small quantity of the titrant persists in the solution and is detected, for example, by means of a pair of amperometric electrodes, as in figure C5. The substance to be determined is then added, and additional titrant is generated until the amperometric response returns to its initial value, and the charge required in the generation measures the amount of the substance to be determined that was added according to equation C4. Finally, because of the fact that coulometric titrations are under electronic control in most instances, they are quite susceptible to automation, which can be an advantage in cases where the titration of similar sorts of samples over and over again may be desired. In table C8 are listed a number of individual cases in which coulometric titrations have been used to analytical advantage. I won't go over all of them in detail, but it is worth noting that substances which are potential environmental pollutants, such as phenols, olefins, and mustard gas, have been determined in the nanogram range by coulometric titration with bromine. Note also, further down in the table, that all of the many metal ions which can be titrated with the common chelating agent, EDTA, can also be determined by coulometric titration. In this case, the titrant precursor is a mercury 2 complex of EDTA, which is reduced at constant current at a mercury electrode. The mercury 2 is reduced to the metal, freeing the EDTA ligand, which is then stirred into the solution where it reacts with the metal ion to be determined. Even acid-base titrations can be carried out coulometrically. Protons are readily generated by the oxidation of water, and hydroxide ions by its reduction in solutions of a neutral electroinactive salt, such as sodium perchlorate or sodium sulfate. The general references on coulometric titrations, listed on the next page of the manual, contain more information about the ways that they have been used. The first reference in particular contains a comprehensive account with numerous examples of the ways in which coulometric titrations have been exploited.
Please turn to slide 4 for the continuation of this ACS audio course.